Welcome back to another edition of the College Cross R&R, that is React and Relax podcast. I am your host, Chris Jastrzemski, and on this special edition of the pod, I am joined by A-Sun Commissioner Ted Gumbart to discuss the recent sponsoring of the A-Sun Men's Lacrosse Conference, which is starting in the spring of 2022 with Air Force, Bellarmine, Cleveland State, Detroit Mercy, Robert Morris, and Utah. The 11th conference in Division I men's lacrosse will also have an automatic bid for the winner of the A-Sun tournament, increasing the number of AQs to 10. Now, this is the second time the A-Sun has sponsored men's lacrosse, the first coming in the spring of 2014, becoming the first conference in the Southeast to sponsor men's lacrosse before transferred over to the SoCon in the following year. Now, Commissioner Gumbart has been with the A-Sun for over 30 years, back when it was first called the Trans-America Athletic Conference. He's been the conference's commissioner since 2007 and has held numerous roles in college athletics throughout his tenure as the A-Sun Commission. Now, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to College Cross's podcasts wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow College Cross on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me on Twitter at Chris_Jast, as well as our guest Commissioner Gumbart on Twitter at ASunCommish. And now, relax and enjoy my conversation with ASun Commissioner Ted Gumbart. And joining me right now is the commissioner of the ASun. He's been there for 30 years, Ted Gumbart. And Ted, this has been a big few weeks for your conference, not only with the men's lacrosse conference, but also Eastern Kentucky, Jacksonville State, Central Arkansas, and sponsoring football. How's that been for your conference overall?
Well, we're happy to be celebrating the positive steps. The COVID's gotten everybody sick and tired of pandemic restrictions. And to be able to celebrate some growth and some positive developments has been very gratifying. And like anything, that there's, it takes a team to put stuff like this together. You can have a vision, you can have an idea, but it took our presidents, and it's been almost a 3-year plan to support it. And then through it, the NJIT realignment, we realized that, hey, this is a different world today. They need to be regionally located, and our realignment is going to be very much geographically dominated, that you're going to add people within your footprint. And so a lot of work, and COVID slowed us down, but ultimately to be able to make those announcements, and I think we have a release going out today or tomorrow that will say we're having a press conference the 23rd of February to announce some details around football. So another announcement coming. It's not membership related, so don't get all excited there. But we are gonna announce some schedules and some partnerships, and hopefully all good news there. But it's been gratifying, and I have slept better the last couple of weeks than the three leading up to it.
So that's all great. And look, that's great. And I know that we are a lacrosse podcast, so I'm going to stick to lacrosse for a little bit. Well, I want to get back to a big picture on the conference and yourself in a little bit. But your conference previously sponsored men's lacrosse beginning in the spring of 2014 with mainly what we have now with the SoCon, Furman, who started their program that year, High Point, Jacksonville, Mercer, Richmond, who also was starting their program, and VMI. And it was also really the first conference to sponsor men's lacrosse in the Southeast, so it was already trailblazing from the start. So what made the conference and you decide to re-sponsor men's lacrosse with teams this time from different geographic areas that aren't in that Southeastern footprint, excluding Bellarmine, which is the only member of the A-Sun in your conference, in that lacrosse conference?
Well, Chris, I think that initial building of lacrosse showed us that it's about opportunity, and it's about the opportunity for the student athletes. And an institution that's a member of the NCAA, if it sponsors a sport, our philosophy is there should be a pathway to have a competitive regular season, earn, you know, the awards that go along with that, and have a conference tournament with an AQ. So the automatic qualification was a condition of the first time we did it. We said, look, we're not going to do it with five. We need six. And if we get six, you know, otherwise you can play each other and earn an at-large. But when we got the six, and I think the way the timing went that Richmond was the last one to commit, we simply said, okay, here's a group of six. And I think we had two. I think the Southern had two and the Big South had one and Richmond. So it was kind of spread out. And we were the ones that sponsored it because we had put it together, and we had done recently a national lacrosse conference conversion into a Sun women's lacrosse. And coincidentally, I was either on the one of the NCAA cabinets or councils that had written some of the new rules for AQ criteria. So I was able to say, look, if we get this, this, and this, we'll get an AQ. Let's do it. And then when Mercer moved from the ASUN into the Southern and VMI moved from the Big South into the Southern, it just made sense that they had three members amongst their membership, and we had one at that time, Jacksonville, that they should be the one to sponsor it under their banner. But in men's and women's lacrosse, the ASUN and the Southern had an arrangement that said we want to grow, and when we get to 12, we'll both sponsor the sport. So we did that in women's. We grew, we got to 12, we actually got to 14. And we knew that in the dynamic growth of a sport like lacrosse, there's going to be other conferences that sponsor it. So when the Mid-American Conference sponsored women's lacrosse, which we think is great, that's good, positive growth. There's another AQ, another conference supporting it, that we had to realign the ASUN and the SOCON. And we did it for one more year this year, in two groups of five, and then next year we'll be down to nine and we'll consolidate back into ASUN only. So really that was the framework: expand and grow and split, and then if you have to reconsolidate to one, you can do it. So the Southern Conference had seven. They had four schools apply for membership, and they didn't want to be an 11 team conference. They figured that's too many, that's too spread out. But you know, there were numerous folks that supported expansion. And so we worked with the Southern Conference, and realizing the Horizon League would have three members playing men's lacrosse because Robert Morris moved into the Horizon League. Cleveland State had added it a few years back, and that Detroit also has men's lacrosse. So those three spoke and said, we'd like to play together, provided we can have a guaranteed AQ and a guaranteed schedule, and that it's a regional alignment, because, you know, not everybody wants to play all over the country. So that was the motivation. And we said, well, we've got enough experience at this. We can put it together. And we've built the groups so that there's 12, and that if at some point in the future there's fewer than 12, we will work as partners to both maximize the AQ access and the regional scheduling. So hopefully we've provided a pathway that will support men's lacrosse and allow it to continue to grow, especially west of the Mississippi. That'd be awesome.
That'd be fun. And you kind of dug under this, started to dig into my next question with the Horizon League members, but what was the process of, you know, not only saying we want to sponsor men's lacrosse once again, but also finding those six teams? You already mentioned those three in the Horizon League, but then you also have now Utah and Air Force out west in the Mountain Time Zone, and you already have an ASUN member in Bellarmine. So getting those teams together, making sure you have an AQ, and then also communicating with the SOCON to ensure that they would keep their AQ as well, which would mean adding Hampton into that fold for that conference.
Well, I tell you, there's something that's worth building is worth the effort, and it was not a simple thing. It wasn't, you know, hey, here's 12 people. Are you guys cool with this? And everyone said, yes. And then we did it. It's like, no, there was, you know, a lot of concerns about, well, what does this mean for me? What does it mean for my program? And ultimately, all we can do is present options. So we would build an option and get feedback and then find out that it didn't suit, you know, that suited six, but not 10, or it suited eight, but not 12. And you get the feedback. And what I want to say is the most gratifying part of it is every conference commissioner that was involved, it was the Big South as well, because they had Hampton and High Point, and Southern Conference Commissioner Jim Schaus and Kyle Kalander, the Big South, and me, we were on together. We even had Jerome Rogers from the CCSA in case we needed to build the second bid out of the CCSA. And all 12 ADs, I think we had three Zooms. Every school was represented on every call. There may have been a substitute, but they were open and honest and said, look, this is what we need. And all we can do is build an option. If they say that's not acceptable, it wouldn't have happened. So you do have to be willing to amend and flex sometimes. And with that, we were able to find an arrangement that works. And we hope that we can continue building some crossover schedules and maybe have a challenge and a cup that goes back and forth based on which conference was superior that year. A lot of those things can happen now that we've built a collaborative partnership.
You mentioned collaboration in your press release. The A-Sun, you know, prides itself on innovation, on opportunity, and on collaboration. So can you describe to us the A-Sun's partnership with the SoCon over this last decade and how it's been a competitor to have Division I lacrosse men's and women's in that southeastern area? And if you can, you know, take us through how conference partnerships work, especially now with football, with the Big South.
Yeah, well, it's kind of an evolution of things that the environment dictates a lot of it. And the environment changed with the pandemic, of course. And now we've got a different way where we've got hybrid learning, you know, that you're not always in the classroom. You may be remoting in, just like we're doing a digital conversation. They can teach classes that way. So higher ed, you talk about the ability to flex and adapt. In about 10 days last March, almost every school in the nation went from traditional classrooms to online. And I think we proved to ourselves that maybe we're a little more flexible than we really gave ourselves credit for. So the A-Sun had been, you know, that's part of how we want to define our conference, that we provide a great experience, and part of that is to be bold, to be creative, and to try new things. And so to be first to do anything, that's a cool thing. We recognize where we stand in the NCAA hierarchy of national championship winners. You know, we're aware of that. But our mission isn't to necessarily win national championships, is to provide a great platform for our young men and women to learn and to have a team experience, but also to understand all of the values that come with being on a team, that we can be part of that. And so if we're able to try new things that generally our presidents and our student athlete committee, top to bottom, have supported us doing that. So yeah, the ability to build a new league, we built the CCSA, which was originally the Coastal Collegiate Swimming Association. And now that grew, and now we sponsor beach volleyball there. It's just, if you have a philosophy that part of your responsibility is to build opportunities, that's kind of just built into what we do. And as you said, I've been here a few years and helped hopefully shape the culture a little bit, but also be a product of it, because the environment and your boss, my boss is now 12 presidents. So I got a 12 headed boss that you have to keep them as satisfied as possible. And so far, we feel very lucky. We've got like-minded institutions with like-minded leadership that value innovation. And so it's just the way we want to approach things. And certainly, A-Sun schools first, but we're all in the business of providing young people great opportunities. If we can advance that by partnering with Air Force, and now our student athletes get to go play on their campus. Maybe they've never been to Colorado. Maybe they've never been to any of the military academies. That will be a great experience for them. And so anyway, just kind of a philosophy is, what can we do to make the student athlete experience more valuable and build the recognition for the A-Sun As I said, we're not hanging our hat on our national championships. We're hanging it on the ability to put up a great experience in an innovative, creative, and hopefully visionary environment.
And as you mentioned, you know, I'm just recently out of college, 3 years out of college, but in those 4 years, you have student athletes that are, you know, you're growing individually in the classroom and growing on the athletic fields, whether it's a court or a hockey rink or a lacrosse field or a football field. And then some of those opportunities is, you know, you are able to go to Salt Lake City and you're able to go to Air Force, or you're even able to go somewhere else in the Southeast maybe you haven't been before. So I 100% agree with that philosophy, and I love it. One last lacrosse question for a little bit. When the A-Sun transferred membership and affiliation over to the SoCon, was it in your short-term goal to add men's lacrosse in the near future?
No, that wasn't part of the plan at all. It's just realistically that we're partners. Why don't you take the men? We'll take the women, because we had more. And we decided anybody in the conference that started or joined with either men's or women's lacrosse would get an automatic green light into the group. So when NJIT joined, they had men's lacrosse. They were offered automatic membership in the Southern Conference. And they chose, said, you know, for right now, we're growing that program. We'd rather put the money into scholarships than to travel down to Jacksonville and Macon, Georgia. And so they were able to find a home in the Northeast Conference. And we supported that. Said, good for you. You know, that's what we want to do is support the institution so that it can give the student athletes the experience they desire. So sometimes things don't match up and you don't do a partnership. But for that lacrosse, it just seemed like the right step. We were really focused on the women's growth because it was apparent. We had new applicants every year, and we grew from 5 at the National Lacrosse Conference into 14. And now the Mid-American sponsors it. And I think if Akron and Kent State and Central Michigan and Detroit, if they didn't have a conference home for those programs, I doubt they would have added more so that they could start it themselves. So, you know, in some way, the MAC should congratulate the SoCon and the A-Sun for building them a conference. And, you know, we'll accept the acknowledgments. That'll be great.
I want to go big picture on the conference as a whole and the state of, you know, college sports and with everything going on in the pandemic. Because, look, I am – as much as I'm a lacrosse fan, I'm also a sports fan, and I love conference affiliation and conference move and all of that. So, as we mentioned off the top, you're sponsoring football. You welcome Central Arkansas, Jacksonville State, and Eastern Kentucky in the last few weeks. The last 3 years, you added Bellarmine, Liberty, and North Alabama in the conference. So, how would you describe the state of your conference right now as we sit here mid-February 2021?
Hey, that's a great question. And we told our staff and our administrators, our athletic directors and our SWAs, I think it was just this morning that we told the group that we're going to do a state of the conference report at the end of the month, just before our conference tournaments start. And so we've been giving that some thought. So here's the preview. For asking the question, you get the preview. The outlook is very strong. We have very confident vision of the future. Financially, we had solid reserves, and you may have read that the Atlantic 10 provided $100,000 to each member to help with the defray the expenses of the COVID year. And many people cheered that, and a lot of folks that people call us maybe peer conferences said, boy, I wish I could do that. Well, we didn't publicize it, but the A-Sun had already done exactly that. We've split it into two $50,000 commitments. We gave them $50,000 each at the beginning of the year, and we're going to give them another $50,000 in this semester. And then provided the NCAA basketball tournament goes as planned, and it's no secret, that is a financial necessity for the NCAA to operate, and that's conference offices included, that many of us, not the football Power Five, but many of us need the basketball tournament to exist. And if we don't have the basketball tournament, then we'll have to turn to other plans because there won't be any funding to run a conference. But we've always had a reserve. We've been smart with our management of that. And so we were able to give everybody $100,000, and we think we might be able to even do more. So financially, we're in really good shape. Membership-wise, we're strong as we've ever been. 12 is the most the conference has ever been. We've been as few as 7 and as many as 12. So membership-wise, we're strong as we've been. And the last year that we ever had a full regular season competition, 18-19, that was a record-setting year for the ASUN. We had more postseason wins with our membership that year than ever before. Every sport, we had a postseason win, including basketball, men and women's basketball. We Lipscomb went to the finals of the NIT that year. We had wins, multiple wins in soccer, multiple wins in every sport. We had golf programs in the national championship bracket, not just the regionals. So it was our most successful athletic year ever. So now we're, 40 years old, and we're at our peak financially. We're at our peak competitively, our peak membership-wise. And at that point, we're calling that the starting point because we're going to move forward. We're going to add football, which is going to add media exposure to all of our schools. We're going to go into a renewal for our basketball agreement for media package, and that will start in the next year. That we're going to be in great shape for because we're better than we've ever been. And academically, our student athletes succeed. We measure a 3.0 that we call that some honors list. 70% of our student athletes. When I first started, we introduced that ranking maybe 17, 18 years ago, and we were in the 40s. So people want to look at, hey, what kind of impact have you had by focusing on students first? We raised that from 40% success to 70% academic success. So there's the highlights, and we broadcast more than ever. We were the first conference to have every school be a production site for ESPN, so that an ESPN broadcast originated from Lipscomb, before the SEC network ever came about. In fact, a lot of the technology was, we were the lab for the SEC network. So we'll let people know that too and accept their thanks for helping build the most successful cable station launch ever. We've got a good history, and the more your track record plays out, the better it becomes and the easier it is to do the next thing. So a great future. Our future's so bright, Chris. You know what I got to do.
The future's so bright. It's your conference is the ASUN. It's ASUN. How can it not be so bright?
It is. And to wear shades, man. That's all I got to do.
How did the pandemic, you kind of went into this a little bit, how did the whole cancellation of the winter and spring championships affect your conference as a whole? I know it affected pretty much every conference in the fact that games and seasons had to be canceled, and so were championships. And then how have you guys rebounded this season? Obviously, you've mentioned football, membership being added with 3 new schools. Are those moves kind of in correlation to try to get more money back from the losses you had in the pandemic last spring?
Hey, those are great questions, and I'm going to flip it on you. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then okay. I'll answer. So my one is there a specified time frame for your podcasts or broadcasts, or are these just as long as we have interesting fodder, we'll get through it?
As long as we have interesting fodder, we'll go through it.
All right, second question. Can you pronounce your last name for me?
Do you know the Red Sox player? Carl Yastrzemski.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought it was going to be.
There it is.
He was my favorite athlete as a kid.
Oh, wow.
I cut out a 8, and my mom stitched it onto the back of a shirt. And so that was my man. So I saw the name, and I said, can I call him Yaz?
Yes, that's what they call me at Syracuse, matter of fact, when I was up there for the lacrosse team.
That's good to know. All right, so then to answer your questions, the pandemic brought financial stress on everyone. You know, there's a lot going on that nobody had a plan for. And we had already been a year and a half or so into our expansion plan. So the pandemic did not, was not the catalyst for expansion, but it changed some of the equation. And then the way we're putting it together now and starting football was not designed for any kind of financial advantage. It was designed to make the conference stronger and more sustainable. Our research said that football will ultimately determine your membership. And so we have North Al and we have Kennesaw State, and we want to keep them. So, well, we've got to give them a permanent football home. People like to be in the same conference for football and basketball. They don't want to be in one for football and another for basketball. So we figured we needed to build a plan to build up the football, or just acknowledge that they are probably not long-term fits and go get some more basketball schools. And as we went through it and explored our options, it seemed that we turned a current status into an asset, that we were the only conference that didn't have football. And therefore, we were the only ones that could add football. And therefore, we're the only ones that could say, hey, we can pick who we would want. And so we had a few different iterations of how it would work out. But to have it end up with a group that is committed to being the very best FCS football conference in the country, that is as good an outcome as you could get. And I can't say that that's what we set out to do. We set out to explore options, but it realized that we can execute this. There are quality programs that want to be grouped with a visionary group that they want to be the best. They don't want to be, you know, status quo. They don't want to be okay. They want to be the best. And they have solid programs all the way through. That attitude of being the best doesn't stop, you know, with one program. So I think we're really adding strong programs, and we're just making our entire conference stronger, which really is the job. You know, the commissioner has to build options and see if the leadership of the universities accept them. And we don't talk about all the options I've built that were rejected. That would kind of make me feel bad. So we wouldn't talk about that.
No, not at all.
But we got to do more lacrosse. Let's get into
this. Well, I got one more question. It's about you. It's about you, the beautiful Mr. Ted Gombart. So you're on Twitter. You're at A Sun Commish, and you're on the road to 1,000 followers. So if you are listening, please follow the Commish at A Sun Commish. He has 968 followers as of recording. So he needs 32 more to get to 1,000. So I think we can do that. And I'd say, look, you're one of the more fun commissioners on that site. And obviously, as this interview has been going, you're showing a lot of your personality. You're also very interactive with the fans of teams in the conference. You're hosting a Zoom on Thursday on scheduling, and you host your TED Talks. So why is it important for you to be interactive with fans of teams in your conference?
Well, that's a great question, and made me smile listening to it. I have to answer it with the same code of conduct that we put over everything. We have to be honest, we have to be fair, we have to be respectful, and we have to be responsible. And those four words, it's a lot easier to have a four-word code of conduct than something that's prescriptive that says, if you leave the locker room and kick on the door of the officials, then you get a half suspension. And if you kick on it twice, it's a game. And, you know, it's like, oh, golly. We hand out discipline as we see fit, and we have a committee that backs it up, and there's an appeals. And so, you know, that's one thing that we learned. You can govern yourself without a rule for everything. And so with that being said, my personality basically shifts with the demands of the environment. If I'm running a meeting with presidents, that's not the time to be silly and tweet out a joke. But we have our meetings and our staff meetings, and I try to tell people that, you know, we all want to get satisfaction from our job. We all want to get satisfaction from being on a team, and our staff is our team. So our A-Sun family, if we're having a call and I see someone laugh, I'll stop and say, wait a minute, why do you get to laugh and I don't? I think a sense of humor is very important. I think it's just one of the ways that we express ourselves, and it's a positive thing that generally creates a little bit of contagion. You know, if some people laugh, then others are more likely to laugh and smile. So I think it's a very positive thing, and I really enjoy connecting with the fans. We have our four beams in the A-Sun: our students first, rise, connect, and impact. And so the rise, you know, we always want to keep growing. Whatever we've done, and I've told you there's things that we are at our peak. Well, that's not time to climb down the mountain. That's time to just set a new bar and start moving up towards new goals. So we always want to get better. We want to rise. Connect, it's just part of today's world that, you know, I'll have that Zoom tomorrow. I doubt, but a couple of them ever used a rotary phone. You know, they just never have. They connect in a different way. Social media, you know, that wasn't a thing when I was growing up, you know. And then my first job, you know, we used a Ditto machine. And then when they came up with a telecopier, which it took like 9 minutes to send a piece of paper, it was the precursor to the fax machine. And it used chemicals and it stunk up the room. And to report our statistics once a week to the conference office, we had a 10-minute window where we had to send our telecopier sheet to the conference office. So things change. And if we don't stay connected, we're not going to succeed. We're not going to convince people that we know what we're doing. We're not going to have our institutions win. And we want the A-Sun to win. So connecting is really important. And when we do that, if you skip the fans, you're really missing a huge group. So when I'm personally on campus and go to an event, I want to go talk to the students. Sometimes I go sit with a group. I did this with Bellarmine, the first basketball game I ever went to. I said, where's the student section? They said, it's over there. And I said, okay, point out a few. So they pointed out, you know, oh, that's the captain of the baseball team. That's a track person. And so I just went up there. They didn't have any idea who I was. And I just mixed in and said, hey, that's all right. I'm a student. That's okay. And they look at me funny. I said, no, I'm a student of the game. That's fine. I'm a student. I can be here. And you just start talking to them and then you just see what they're up to and they kind of look at you funny. And I just like to do that and start a relationship and said, hey, actually, you know, I'm the commissioner of the A-Sun. I just wanted to come meet you guys. That forging that initial, you know, bond, say, hey, I'm okay. I'm just a guy. Yeah, I have different responsibilities, but I remember being a student and I remember cheering on my team. So the connecting is really important to me. So that's kind of a personal thing. So if you got a little personality and a desire to connect, Twitter is actually not bad because whenever I'm tired of it, I just leave. You know, I don't have to do, it's not a job to be on there. And I really don't have time to be on a lot, but I see others do. And so it comes to something that I enjoy, but it's a good positive impact in the job. And then SAC president of the A-Sun SAC, Ari Beck, is a cross-country runner at Stetson. And I promised him that if I got 1,000 followers, we would release a song on the internet. So.
You on the guitar, I'm assuming? Would you be on the guitar?
We'll release details if we get to the 1,000. So,
all right. So
there's
so,
a project, and it's just all in fun. You know, we enjoy it. And during some of the discussion, the A-Sun SAC actually put out a message saying, you know, we support the commish. If you know him, you'll understand that he's supportive and open, and you know, just maybe not the classic commissioner that you might picture that has an iron fist and says, it's my way or the highway. That, you know, that's not my personality. And, you know, hopefully the opportunity to do talks like these with you just helps that. Said, hey, you know, so we got one or two more followers. That's great. We love to make new friends.
Definitely. And as the people's commissioner, I'm going to title you as get that 1,000 followers. I want to hear that song, and hopefully it's a Grammy-nominated song when it's released. Going to start going back to lacrosse again, starting with you. Do you have a personal connection To lacrosse, I know you graduated from Lafayette College for a bachelor's degree, and they were the only school that had a men's lacrosse and probably women's lacrosse program. So I don't know if it runs a little bit deep on you or you just became a fan when you started to sponsor the sport.
Actually, the Lafayette connection did have a little bit to do with it. I had not experienced lacrosse, even though growing up in Connecticut, New England had a lot of lacrosse, but I didn't play lacrosse. I think I played like 9 different sports, and that was one I'd never touched the lacrosse stick, if that's what it's called. I'm going to get my lingo
wrong. You're right.
Okay, so at Lafayette, I was a member of a fraternity, and we had leaders. We had the leader of the RA group. We had the leader of the campus security, you know, the student-led campus security. We had the leader of a lot of sports teams, you know, athletes from all of them, captain of the soccer, captain of the lacrosse. So we had a mix, but, you know, it's kind of like the pride of leadership, and our alpha, the president of the conference, was on the lacrosse team. And we also won the intramural cup for athletic competition in our fraternity. And one lax player, his name was Evan Duell. So Dooley, if you're listening, I'm giving you a shout out that he also won the most points. I mean, he'd play pool, he'd play ping pong, he'd play darts, whatever sport they had, he would be able to contribute to our total. And he was one of the top scorers on the lacrosse team. And so we just started going out. You know, our group hung together strong, and we started going to lacrosse games. And, you know, we found out how much fun that was. Not as much fun as the rugby games. Those were a lot of fun, too. But we just enjoyed it. And so when the lacrosse option came up with the ASUN, Jacksonville added it, and then Mercer added it. And we had gotten into the women's league because that was leading the way. It was more popular growth at that point, that I was open to it. I said, no, if this happens, there's only one first. You said there's a first lacrosse league in the South. Well, we wanted to be first. And so we were the first conference to ever do beach volleyball as a conference championship. And we were the first conference in the South to do lacrosse. And whatever happens next, that first is in there forever. So we were happy to be first, and we like being first.
History's always in the books, and it'll always say Atlantic Sun, first men's lacrosse conference in the Southeast. A couple membership questions for you pertaining to men's lacrosse. Do you foresee Jacksonville, who's currently an ASUN member but in the SoCon for men's lacrosse, coming back to the ASUN in the future when it's feasible to do so for both conferences?
You know, I think that looking forward, we're open to whatever alignment satisfies the group, that, you know, our experience with the CCSA sports and with some other alignments. And I actually have an email that's going to go out within an hour about a realignment in beach volleyball, where we just have more teams that are interested that we can really put under one roof. And so to look forward, yes, I can certainly see that there would be a time when they would come back to a more formal ASUN conference relationship, but only if we can continue to run the Southern as an independent group, and maybe the Horizon, they've got three, you know, they find three more affiliates or some programs that are up in that area, they may say, you know what, we want to do our six, that we want to help that growth. We don't consider any of our affiliate members to be locked in as ours. It's a mutual relationship. In fact, the agreement says if your multi-sport conference home begins sponsorship of the sport, you'll be released immediately without penalty to participate in your own conference. So it really is about meeting the market demand and providing an option that the group can, you know, can agree on. So I do see possible changes, and you know, as to what is going to happen sports sponsorship wise, we want to provide a forum, whether it's swimming, beach volleyball, lacrosse, that you have a place to play, because if you don't, the data shows that puts you up closer to the top of the list if a school has to go through cuts. And the pandemic has not provided additional finance. It's stretched the ability to sponsor sports. Now, we always like to show that getting students on campus is important. And a lot of them won't come if you don't have athletics. So for some, it actually builds the sustainability of the school to add sports. Nobody does that to say, hey, this will be bad for my university. Let me add a sports program. You do it because it'll benefit the university. So we want to be sure that if there's programs that need a home, we do what we can. We can't be all things to all people, but at least in the Southeast and sometimes across West, if it works, then we want to build and we want to provide access. So opportunity and building, and that's what gives us satisfaction.
You have members in your conference that do sponsor women's lacrosse that don't have men's lacrosse, in Liberty, Kennesaw State, and Stetson. And the majority of your members don't even sponsor any lacrosse, but they're in some notable geographic areas of states that do have lacrosse, such as Eastern Kentucky, North Florida, and Florida Gulf Coast. Have either schools reached out to you, or have you reached out to some of those schools to gauge their interest in adding men's or women's lacrosse recently?
Yeah, those conversations go on fairly regularly, whether it's, you know, lacrosse or swimming or football or anything else, that we want to know what is on the thought list of every school. And say, like, well, if you act on that, you know, do you need a home and can we accommodate it, whether it's, you know, sport A or sport X? And the survey, you know, every year we say, hey, are you planning to add anything in the next 2 years? And if someone says yes, then it might be either beach or lacrosse. And we say, okay, fine. What do you need to know to make the right decision for your institution? And is it enrollment driven? Is it gender equity driven? Is it, you know, elevating a club to varsity because there's just interest and that's the way you're meeting Title IX and accommodating the interest? We want to be partners there with the school, that if we can't provide the school's value, then they're going to say, well, I can get more value in another place. We want to be their best option and be their partner. So, yes, we do look at that. We have had inquiries about lacrosse as well as some other sports, and we're always poised to accommodate growth. I think it's a lot more enjoyable to manage growth than to manage a constriction of resources or opportunities.
And as you mentioned, there are challenges in adding those sports, Title IX, and, you know, money needed to raise to fund those programs. Are there any other challenges you see schools having in starting specifically lacrosse programs? And does this current pandemic help or hurt adding sports to an institution's portfolio of programs sponsored?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult time to add, but we've also seen a few unsuccessful attempts to drop sports that across the country they've had to bring them back under Title IX constraints. So you really have to do your research ahead of time. You don't want to have the analysis presented after the fact. So obviously the schools that do those changes have done that, and then they get pressures. And so where do those pressures come from? A lot of times there's new monies that come in because somebody's sport is threatened. And if you're an alumnus and you're like, hey, my strongest memories of that school are with my team. And so you connect with your teammates and you say, what do you guys want to do? You want to help out? And sometimes it leads to stronger affiliations. And that's a good thing. Back to the connect. More you connect with your audience, whether it's your prospective students, your alumni, your fan base, the more trust you'll build. And if you have a trusting relationship, then you can now analyze things and say, look, this isn't about anybody being a favorite. We're going to add a sport and we're going to add the one that fits the best. And if you end up saying we have to cut a sport, that needs to be an analysis done for the whole university's welfare. It's not an athletic department. Like, hey, will this help our university meet our goals?
couple more questions before I let you go. Do you believe there's been this whole argument about adding athletics or adding specific sports to help departments and their respective colleges, universities, especially now? Do you believe in that idea that adding varsity sports now would help athletic departments and their respective colleges and or universities?
I don't think there's one answer. I think there's Division One is you know, my area, and even in Division One, we have a great disparity in the resources devoted to athletics. You know, that's no secret that your Ohio State and Texas and SEC schools like Alabama have more at stake with their contracts with the media. And it's a great source of affiliation and pride that provides significant funding to the schools as a whole, down to schools that are operating with less than $10 million budget to do an entire department. So it's a different equation. And you've got, you know, schools of 100,000 down to schools of, you know, 2,500 or less. So it's the leadership of the university that has to analyze how are we going to survive in this market and look 3, 5, 7 years down the road and make a plan that says this is what's best for our university. And I mention that specifically because our analysis of Bellarmine University included a lot of that. What is your plan? What is your enrollment plan? What is your funding plan? How are you going to sustain? You know, it's a small private Catholic school, but it's in Louisville, Kentucky, and they had a terrific plan. They had built more advanced plans for the university, and moving to Division One was just a part of how Bellarmine as a university was going to grow and manage the next 10 years. And it was very impressive, and we learned a lot from them, and hopefully they learned a little bit from us. But, you know, they had a great plan for Bellarmine. If you took that plan and said it's Kennesaw State's plan, it wouldn't have worked. That's different situations, different circumstances, different environments. And to the greatest degree possible, we want to be a facilitator to make sure people make decisions with good, timely, accurate information, and that they look ahead a little bit as to the long-term ramifications, not just today's budget. So not any one size fits all, but we like to get involved where we can to provide the information.
And finally, Ted, for you, what in your mind is the long-term effect and the long-term potential you see with lacrosse, men's or women's, in that southern part of the United States?
If it's just me personally giving an opinion, I say it's going to continue to grow. It's very popular and growing in the high schools, even at divisions two and three. People are adding those programs, which shows that there is a need. And I believe there'll be more. I mean, the lacrosse community, I learned this the first time around, is so passionate. And the people that support it are so committed that that's only going to grow. And when your alumni grow and the alumni that played lacrosse grow into the, you know, the responsible positions that they will hold in the future, I don't see anything but more growth. And if that's the case, I've been part of a study. We need to train more officials. There's the more games, the more officials we need. And so if anybody's got a great idea of how to increase the population of lacrosse officials, I'm open. But yeah, I just think it's a great sport. That it provides an opportunity to connect with new populations that play lacrosse and sponsor it and support it. And we love having those people affiliated with the ASUN. I mean, to have the Air Force and the Utah programs having the ASUN on their website and saying, yeah, thanks to the ASUN, we're now in the conference. There's nothing but positive growth that can come from that. So that's my ASUN opinion.
And listen, like those programs, especially Utah and especially Cleveland State and even Hampton, you know, even though they're going to the SoCon, you know, the impact of this, and I think a lot of people are really not really focusing on this, is those programs have a home. They can now compete, as you mentioned, give them those opportunities to play in an A-Sun tournament, even an NCAA tournament. Those programs, maybe if they were still independent for a year or two, they might not even exist anymore. So because of, you know, the conference's efforts, the sponsor men's lacrosse, and by the way, this is a conference that I think will be very competitive right away with Robert Morris and Utah there and Air Force. You have given a lot of these programs, you know, new hope and a lot of opportunity for those teams and players and athletes and coaches to compete for what, you know, for a conference title and even an NCAA tournament. This has been great. I really appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we have more of, you know, some Antonio Gandy Goldens and Garrison Matthews in the new A-Sun Men's Lacrosse Conference. So, Commissioner Ted Gumbart, I really appreciate you joining on, and best of luck with the future of the A-Sun, especially in men's lacrosse.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me on. I look forward to the next time when we can talk about some of our results, and hopefully we can go to the top. There's no sense doing something if you don't do it right, and we're in a competitive environment, so wins is part of the outcome when you do things right. So good luck to you. Thanks for the opportunity, and go Yaz.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate it.